Our scripture for the next 5 weeks is Matthew 4, 1 through 11. We're going to be resting in this passage for a while and
You're
looking.
Unmuted, but we can't hear you. That prayer of St. Patrick thing is still up.
Our scripture for the next 4 weeks is Matthew 4, 1 through 11.
That's good.
We'll be resting in this scripture for a while. We will read the entire verse, the entire passage over the next 5 weeks together. But we'll be focusing on, for each week, a particular part of this passage. So I trust that the Lord will use this in our hearts to shape our lives over the next 5 weeks. Hear now the word of the Lord, Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. When I say the word temptation, what pops into your mind? Is it whatever consistently opposes you in your desire and effort to live in this world as a faithful follower of Jesus? A temptation is something that entices us to act contrary to God's will for us. We all know what those enticements are for us. When I say the word trial, what comes to your mind? Is it a time in your life that was extremely difficult, physically, emotionally, spiritually, economically, or some combination, or all of those difficulties? In that time of trial, there were certain temptations that came to you that challenged your commitment to move through that period of your life as a faithful follower of Jesus. In God's purposes, temptations and trials come to us as tests in which He gives us the opportunity to prove our faithfulness to Him and to His will. He introduces or allows these tests with the intention that we will pass the test. Our tests are in fact designed for our success, not for our failure. But we will talk about that later. Of all the sermons that I have ever preached and that I will ever preach, the 5 sermons of this series will require the least illustration. That is because we are all living illustrations. When we let the words temptation and trial enter our minds, our lived personal experience of temptation and trial floods our minds and our emotions. We do not need a story to help us understand temptation and trial. We are the story. We are all tempted. We all live through demanding situations in our lives. We understand the connection between those difficulties and the temptations we meet there. We all know what it means to and feels like to fail God. And thankfully, we also know what it means to and feels like to successfully face our temptations and our trials. Temptations and trials are constant companions in life. We make it through one set of temptations and trials just in time to start the next round. That's why we need to sit with this passage for 5 weeks and turn our eyes to Jesus, to be taught by Him how to move through our temptations and trials in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must not hurry through what might well be the most applicable experience of Jesus' life to our own life experience. Because life is full of tests, the struggle against them and through them can sometimes feel hopeless. It is my hope this series will encourage us all so that we will have real hope in facing the test of life. Hope springs from understanding that God has a good purpose for our temptations and trials. Hope arises by realizing that the gospel gives us real relief from our past sins and failures. Hope is real when we know how to respond in the moment of temptation. Luke records that when Jesus' time of testing in the wilderness was done, that Jesus, quote, returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, end quote. It is my hope that we, like Jesus, will emerge from this time with him in the wilderness, full of the power of the Spirit, ready to face with greater confidence the temptations and trials that lie before us. In order to get to that level of confidence, we have to first admit and confront that sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed by our temptations and trials that we wonder if they have any good purpose at all. Even worse, we may, in our temptations, question if God is on our side at all. In our darker moments, we may wonder if God might have a devious side, and that maybe he's just trying to trip us up to show us how totally miserable and unworthy we are of his grace, mercy, and love. To the contrary, our focal passage and related scriptures teach us that God is in complete control of our testing for our well-being and for the well-being of others. Let's begin. Our focal scripture passage this morning is Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then Jesus was led. This small word, then, makes an important connection between the baptism of Jesus and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. At Jesus' baptism, the Father affirmed Jesus' identity, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Also at his baptism, the Spirit of God visibly descended on Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, we see the fellowship of the Trinity in action. All of the miraculous aspects of Jesus' life, the visual anointing by the Spirit, and the audible endorsement by the Father marked the spiritual highlight of Jesus' life to this point. Following this spiritual high, the text tells us that Jesus was led. This implies that Jesus' journey into the wilderness was not by his plan, but by the Father's design. You see, God is in control of the timing of our testing. The Father was in control of the timing of Jesus' testing, and he is in control of our testing too. Whether our testing comes when we sense we can take on the world, or whether our tests come when we do not think we can manage one more stress in our lives, God is in control of the timing of our testing. When the test comes in those moments when we think we can't take one more thing, we must run to 1 Corinthians 10:13, which reads, "No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We run to this scripture so that we can truly confess that we believe that this good God, after creating all things, did not abandon them to chance or fortune, but leads and governs them out according to His holy will in such a way that nothing happens in this world without God's orderly arrangement. As it was for Jesus, so it is for us. Jesus did not start His own testing. Rather, it was the will of the Father. The Spirit drew Jesus into this experience, for Jesus was led by the Spirit into His time of testing. Sometimes our times of testing do not come to us when we are at our wits' end. Sometimes our tests come when we're feeling like Jesus after His baptism, at the top of our game. It could be a time when we're experiencing the blessing of God in our professional life. It could be a time when we're seeing God at work in our family relationships. It may be a time when things are going super well in our marriage. It could be a special material blessing that God has entrusted into our hands. Or it could simply be a season of life when we sense a special closeness to God. In whatever form this season of blessing takes, something will follow it. The Holy Spirit will draw us from that especially meaningful experience into something else. As children of God, it is normal that we experience the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Not only does God guide us as individuals, but He also guides us as a church family. God not only takes individual believers through times of testing, but He also takes churches through times of testing. Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation said this to the church at Smyrna. "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." The beautiful thing about the Spirit's guidance is that we know that not only does God control the timing of our testing, but God walks with us into the place of our testing. This is great comfort, because sometimes the Spirit will lead us directly out of our season of blessing into a work He has designed specifically for us. This new opportunity is a test for us. Will we respond to the call of God? Abraham, for example, heard from God and then at once set out in obedience. Moses saw God in the burning bush and, after initially resisting the call of God, set out to tell Pharaoh, "Let God's people go." When God tests us by calling us to a new venture, we can find special comfort when He tells us, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." It is especially comforting to know that God walks with us when the Spirit leads us not to a new calling, but into the wilderness. The wilderness is a harsh place. It's a place of no comforts. It's a place where just surviving can be the measure of success. The wilderness is a place of isolation. Pastor Charles Stanley wrote, "When temptation comes, if you are like me, you probably feel very much alone and abandoned. With those feelings come the feeling that it really doesn't matter what you do anyway. Nobody will know, and nobody will care. In fact, what you do always matters. Second, you never struggle alone. Our Heavenly Father takes very seriously every victory or defeat in the life of a believer. It is important to remember that the wilderness can make us or break us. It broke the children of Israel before it made them a people ready to enter the promised land. However, God never takes us into the wilderness to break us. He takes us there to help us see what the real state of our heart is toward Him. In the same way that God walks with us into our time of testing, God stays with us in our test. God stays with us in our time of testing. In Israel's time of testing, God stayed with them to guide and protect them. Nehemiah wrote, "Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen." God controls the timing of our testing. God walks with us into the place of our testing. God stays with us during our testing, for He has led us into the wilderness for a purpose. He has led us into the wilderness for a purpose, to be tempted. The Greek word translated tempted describes the act of being of describes the act of leading somebody astray and thus causing them to commit an act of wrongdoing. The scripture is clear that although God does test us, God never tempts us to do evil. However, in the wilderness, the devil intends to tempt Jesus and lead Jesus astray. God brought Jesus into the wilderness to be victorious in this test. Michael Watkins, in his commentary, points out that Jesus' victorious clash with the devil achieves three significant purposes. The first is that in Jesus' victorious clash with the devil, he surpasses the experience of Adam. Jesus, as the Son of God, fulfilled what Adam, the first Son of God in creation, failed to accomplish. The first Adam failed in the best conditions. Jesus, the last Adam, succeeds in the worst. Death was the result of Adam's sin, but Jesus' suffering and temptation will enable him to make atonement for his people and bring life. Second, in Jesus' victorious clash with the devil, he surpasses the experience of Moses and Israel. Both in type and in direct fulfillment, Jesus' early life has paralleled the history of Israel. Jesus, the Messiah, fulfills the nation of Israel's experience. Although Israel had the endowment of the Spirit given to them, Jesus will be fully obedient to the Spirit's leading where the nation was not. The temptations reenact Israel's history, but this time, victoriously. Third, the victorious encounter confirms Jesus' identity and mission as the unique Son of God. There are larger issues at stake than simply recording Jesus' spiritual temptations. The allusion to the fall of Adam and the wanderings of Israel in the desert cry out for God's new beginning. The darkness of chaos of sin looms over humanity. Jesus is called upon as the unique Son of God to rectify the previous failures. So after 40 days and nights of fasting, when he is most vulnerable, the tempter comes to him. Satan tries to foil God's plan for humanity's redemption by disqualifying Jesus as a sinless Savior and obedient Son. But here, his people people of the risen King. King Jesus becomes the model of human victory over temptation for all who follow him. This is why we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus succeeded where all had failed before him, not because he was superhuman. No, Jesus succeeded because he was a human who completely belonged to God his Father. Jesus was a human full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus trusted his Father to control the timing of his testing. Jesus trusted that the Father, through the Spirit, walked with him into his testing. Jesus trusted that the Father, through the Spirit, was present with him in his testing. We shall see that there was also other components to Jesus' victory over the devil, but this is the beginning of it. This is a good place for us to start. When temptations or trials come to us, when we feel most vulnerable, we can remember God is in control. This test is not random. It is not by accident. We can remember that God's intent is that we be victorious because He walked into this test with us, and He will be with us all the way through. As the Spirit was with Jesus in His time of testing, so the Spirit is with us. This is Jesus' promise to us. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be with you. God has one good goal for all of our temptations and trials: to conform us into the image of His Son. We work in harmony with God's goal for our testing when we allow the Spirit to remind us that God controls the timing of our tests. Remind us that God walks with us into the place of our test. Remind us that God is with us through the test. Remind us that God's good purpose is to make us like Jesus. That is why our first move in our temptations and trials is to turn our eyes to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we ask You that as we encounter temptations and trials in our life, and some will come to us this very week, help us to turn our eyes upon You. Help us to remember that these things do not come to us by random, but that You mean them for our good, and that You are in control of the timing. You have led us into this place, and You will stay with us in this place and provide everything that we need to be victorious. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name.